Reading FC go into the international break top of the league. Probably not something we expected to be saying a few weeks ago, but here we are, 4 out of 4 for the Royals. Welcome to the Tyler Stem Podcast, episode 236, where we're asking what on earth is going on, and certainly not complaining, let's just make that clear. And joining me, your host, Mark Ray, this week is Alan Westy. How is it going, mate?
Very well, thank you. It's been a long time since I've been on it, but it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's nice to get your first appearance of the season on while the bandwagon is still up and running. It'd have been a shame if you'd have missed the 3 weeks of us being good.
It would have been a terrible shame. As I said, it's good to come back with winning ways, and long may that continue, Mark.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be talking about Reading's 1-0 win over Watford in just a second. Before we do that, a thank you to our Patreon subscribers and a thank you to our sponsor, ZCZ Films. Always happy to have them on board for the new season. So let's get into it then and recap another win for Reading FC.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
So headlines for the starting 11, which is quite important, I think, really, for us winning this game, is that there is no Lucas Joao, no Yeardom, no Ajaria, and no Swift for Reading going into this game, which really feels like a scenario. I mean, I'd be totally honest, Westy, I woke up on Saturday morning, and to be honest, all through the week, I thought at some point this bandwagon is going to have to slow down or have some sign of easing up. Something is going to trip us up somewhere. And I genuinely thought, I think a lot of us did actually, that Watford, you know, the quality of a team just relegated from the Premier League, it had all the hallmarks of a reality check. But that's not what happened. And to do it without the players that were absent from the game, I think just shows that there is something special going on here.
I think, let's be honest, Mark, I don't think there was anyone that thought, looking at the players out injured. I mean, you know that even last year I was saying without Joao, that's half a side. And I was convinced that this would be a real difficult game for Reading to get anything out of. I think most of us would have said a draw with three of our best players missing we've been happy with. But on the balance of play, when you sat and watched the game, I mean, it has staggered me, really, that some of the players that I chucked under the bus a long time ago, i.e. Yurilukos of the world, I see a performance on Saturday that I didn't think he had in him. I could not believe how this guy was winning tackles. He was winning headers. His quality into the box was good. He was getting around the pitch. And some of the youngsters that have come in, your Holmeses and Richards, who played last year, but I think this year he looks absolutely amazing at left back. They've come in and they look like they're automatically championship footballers. I think we knew that some of them had improvement in them. I mean, I've always been confident that our first 11 could beat anyone on their day. And I think we see that last year with results against Fulham and that around Christmas time when we looked like a really good side. And it was only injuries then that sort of slowed us down. Even Puskas, I mean, again, he's another player that divides opinion. I'm not one of his biggest fans, but after Saturday's performance, he held the ball well. He kept Reading going forward. He didn't give it away cheaply like he has done in sort of back end of last season. And maybe now he's sort of just trying to find his feet, or has found his feet, in a championship. And watching Joao's performances over the last couple of weeks, maybe he's thought, this is where I need to up my game. I need to make sure that I'm doing the same sort of job that he does. And they did it. And just the work rate was incredible. I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk about the first goal, but the goal they scored on Saturday, it actually started from impressing Watford on their own touchline. They got the ball back. They chased them down. They stopped them getting out. And then the ball came into Holmes, played a nice ball into Puskas. And it was a lucky finish, but who cares? You know what I mean? You need that sort of luck. And it's just the work rate is immense. And that's all since the manager's come in. I mean, you can't say anything other than that, because it certainly wasn't there last year.
Yeah, and the thing that I suppose that's the glory of getting off to a good start with that first 11 that we had is that the competition for the places goes up so much more. And that, he Aluko comes into the team. Ijari is expected to not be... I don't think he's going to be back for after the international break. So he's only out for really one game. And then they say to Aluko, this is your one chance. This is your chance. You've seen a winning team. If you don't perform in it, then you're not going to get many more chances. And he's taken it really well. As you say, the winning tackles, it was defensively that he was so impressive. The versatility to have Tom Holmes, usually a centre-back, move out to the right, was really good. And that first goal, Holmes drilling it into the box. Was it a cross? Was it a shot? I'm leaning towards shot, to be honest, but it works. And Puskas, credit to him, in the box to spin and get the goal in is impressive. And another name I'd add on to that is Yaku Mate. I thought he had a brilliant performance down the right-hand side. So all of these things coming together, I think it really is that competition for places, Westy, where you look at another player, you know, you think of last season with the strikers, Baldock wasn't doing it, Zhao was injured, Puskas wasn't doing it, Mate was kind of injured, not really doing it in through the middle anyway. Whatever Mark Bowen tried, it didn't work, because perhaps there was a sense of all the players thinking, well, you know, it doesn't matter, I'll get another chance. But with this team, it's the opposite. You have to perform on that one chance you get.
Yeah, and they are young and hungry. I think that's what we've been saying for a long time. And I know Steve Coppell was a big advocate of having young and hungry players. And I think they've got young and hungry players at the moment. And they've got some good quality. And what I like about, especially the midfield with Laurent in there now as well with Rinomota, is them two are really nippy. They're nippy at getting the ball back for you, and they can turn defence into attack really quickly. I mean, I've been impressed with Laurent. I think he's a really good player. I think there's only one incident I can point out on Saturday where he made the wrong decision, where he should have released Puskas a bit quicker. But they're not frightened to get forward with the ball and carry it. And we've got good ball carriers in there. And Elise stepped up a bit level this year, whereas I've been scared last year's shooting is dreadful. And he's had a few miss-hit ones this year. But the goal he scored a few weeks back, I mean, he's hit that hard and low and it's gone in. And he looks like a much better player this year as well, which will happen because they're young and they're learning. And I think there's more improvement to come from him, which is exciting, I think, from our point of view. I think most of us look at this year, sorry, Mark, most of us look at this year as we've got a lot of young players on the bench and maybe they're going to struggle. But from the start of the season, anyone who's come in has done a terrific job, and they've all got an aim. They're all aiming to get that ball back quickly and turn defence into attack as soon as possible. And even when Redknapp had to go long on Saturday, when Raphael couldn't play out from the back, he was aiming for Mate. He didn't even once try and hit the ball long to Puskas, because we all know that's a wasted ball. And Mate was winning 9 out of 10 headers and flicking them on. And again, we looked like we were a threat all over the pitch, whereas last year we probably couldn't say that consistently.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's that the discipline that you kind of get from, you know, doing the same thing, the thing that works over and over again, rather than, you know, as you say, hitting it to Puskas, which doesn't work as well as hitting it to Mate. And to be fair, I think as well, the versatility of the players is proving to be really useful, with both our right backs injured, for Holmes to come in at right back, do well. Tom McIntyre coming off the bench for a couple of weeks now and go to centre mid has been a really nice feature. I think he played not so well higher up the pitch, McIntyre, on the weekend, but then when he had to drop into the box, there's one moment, I think it's in injury time, and he completely rolled his man in the 6-yard box and just eased the danger away, which was brilliant to see. And these are the things that, you know, as fans we look out for, because they're signs that we're not in, hopefully, a sort of a bubble that will burst soon. And one thing I'd say about that, we'll talk about the strike situation. Lucas Shaw didn't make the starting 11 for this game with a shoulder problem. He's just won the Tyler Sens Player of the Month award, by the way, so no surprise there. Well, I personally voted for Michael Elise, but I suppose he did drop off on the weekend, and Zhao has been immense. But with Zhao being, you know, unavailable for this game and Puskas coming in, are we now happy with Puskas as the backup to Zhao? Because, yeah, we've got a plethora of strikers. It seems that Baldock and McNulty might well be on their way out, as we're talking here on transfer deadline day. But it does feel as if that's the sort of the order now is Jan Puskas, and it, you know, it might just serve us okay.
It may. I would say that one swallow doesn't make a spring. He did particularly well this week holding the ball, and he played well. I thought he played really well, and credit where credit's due. But I don't think after those two, really, that our other options up front are at best average. I really think they still need someone they can hit as a target, because if Zhao or Puskas isn't playing for 95% of the season, we're going to struggle in that department.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that's the fact of it. We'll talk about deadline day and transfers in a bit. There is a sort of EFL extension to deadline day, so I think whatever happens today, domestically at least, I think things can go on a little bit longer. But the other thing, we'll hear from Veljko Panovic in a bit as well. The other thing that's been really impressive is the set pieces. Westy. We've popped up time and time again, certainly at, you know, at Cardiff we did, and we threatened again a little bit on the weekend. The set pieces and the organisation that's gone into them is something that it's another thing that's really impressed me. And when you've got players like Michael Morrison on the pitch, you know that you've got target men to hit. And it's just another sign that we're picking up little areas of the game and the pitch that perhaps we haven't made such use of in the last few years.
No, and we know, even from this game on Saturday, if you sat and watched the whole 90 minutes, as I did, that we say this every year, that Championship games can quite easily go either way. Now, Watford had good opportunities, I thought, in the first 10, 15 minutes. They had a free kick to hit the crossbar that could another day would have gone in the net. And we have been talking about a different game. So those fine margins are what wins games. And if you look at Reading's side now, especially the team that was out on Saturday, but even more so if Jowell plays up front, is you've got a lot of big, strong players in there now. Laurent's a big lad. Morrison's can win a header. Moore can win a header. Holmes played this week, is a big lad. And in the Championship, we know teams like Cardiff have gone up just because they've got a big, strong team that are already present. And I think we've got that now. Whereas again, last year, maybe we were a bit lacking in that department. But the quality's been good. Elise's quality into the box was good. And like I say, Luku's quality, surprisingly, was excellent, I thought, on Saturday. And that helps, doesn't it? And it's them fine margins that will win you games that maybe last year you get draw or get beat. And it looks like we've addressed our home form as well, which again was a reason, one of the reasons, or the main reason really, that we was down the bottom of the league last year for quite so long. Away from home, we know we're good because we can play on a counter-attack and it really suits us. But home, we wasn't picking up results. Whereas this year, rightly or wrongly, I thought Barnsley, again, another game that could have gone either way. But we're getting the sort of the fine margins right. And if you can do that all season, then we'll be there or thereabouts, I think.
Well, this brings me on to the million-dollar question of the season expectations, sort of where they are now compared to where they are at the start. I said on the season preview show that I could genuinely see us finishing 19th. And I kind of stick by that to an extent because we had a... I was kind of fed up with having a new manager. It wasn't something that I felt was entirely necessary. Perhaps you can make a case that all of the Reading managerial changes we've made in the last few years have been continual notches up. You know, Clement to Gomez was a notch up. Gomez to Bowen was a notch up. Perhaps Byrne to Paunovic is a notch up. As we'll see in the mailbag, there's a lot of optimistic fans out there, which is, you know, I'm not going to say it's a bad thing. But in terms of the expectations, Westy, where are you now? Do you feel like this is, you know, knocking us into serious playoff territory or even higher?
Well, I remember having a conversation at the start of the season when I looked at the Championship and I thought to myself, you know, this is probably one of the weakest Championships there's been for many a year. I didn't think the sides that have come down were particularly great. I mean, Bournemouth have cashed in on all their decent players anyway. So whether they're replacing with players that are equivalent, I find it hard, I doubt it, but they will obviously have a strong squad. Watford, you'd have to say, looking at their squad and the amount of money that's still in their players that they've bought, you'd think they'd be there or thereabouts. And I looked at them on Saturday and thought, well, yeah, they're okay, but they're not anything to frighten you. I don't see where the sort of standout team's coming from. And as we know in the Championship, it's a league that... anything can happen, and I think we're seeing that. Even in the Premier League this week, we see that anything could happen. But I think Reading, you just worry that their strength in depth is not enough to win the league. Not to say that they couldn't. Like I said, the youngsters are definitely improving as a side, and they've come in and look like Championship players. But I just think our strength in depth at this moment is not enough to win the Championship. But could they be in the top six at the end of it? Judging by what I've seen so far, there's no reason to doubt that Reading would be certainly in the top half, and you'd have thought from the start they've made, and looking at next month's games, you'd have thought that really I'd be disappointed now if they didn't finish somewhere near the playoffs as a minimum.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The disappointment would be genuine, and I think the only thing that I would add to kind of temper things at the moment is I've always thought that managing a football team when things are going well is a lot easier than managing them when things are going badly. At some point this season, we will lose a game, and how do we bounce back from that? How do we respond? I think it was Steve Clark's, his last season, is only there for about 4 months of that season. I'm going to say it was 15-16. We had a brilliant start, 2-0 up at Fulham 1 week, and then we got beat 4-2 in that game at Fulham, and the season just collapsed from there on in. So is that going to happen again? If we do have another shot, that for me is going to be the killer moment as to whether we're going to have a serious promotion challenge or not.
We look like we've got a plan. That's a good thing. And I was quite an advocate of getting rid of the manager in the first place. If anyone follows me on Twitter, I know some of you do. There's a guy in there called Sam Richards who I correspond with quite a lot. We said the same thing. I really don't care who the manager of Reading Football Club is. I just want to see that they're progressing. And I think we've seen in the first four games that this guy's got a plan. Whether he's got a plan B, we'll have to find out. And that's when we'll know if Reading are genuine contenders or not.
Yeah, well, let's hear now from Veljko Paunović and his thoughts after the Watford win. And on the other side of that, we will be in the mailbag with your thoughts and questions.
Happy about the performance, very happy about the result. Given the circumstances, also very happy that we saved everyone today. We didn't have injuries. And most of everything, I think the spirit and the performance, the way we got this 3 points in this win was unique. We probably had the best or the hardest test so far in the season against a very good opponent. We didn't have a good start. I think we adjusted very well after 15 minutes, took again the control of the game and the way we wanted to play. But it was a very, very competitive game, and we also have to congrats our opponents on their performance too. And the end of the day, the most important thing was that we continue with our winning streak. We continue with building our identity and our style. And so happy, to be honest, so happy about every guy that stepped up today on the field and gave their best. This is the requirement that we always look for, and we're very happy with the performance.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.
As I alluded to earlier, there's a fair bit of optimism in the mailbag this week. I had to trim out a couple of questions that were basically the same question again. Mateo's asking, are we booking the Purple Turtle or the Caversham Princess for celebrations in May? SDS asking, who is the greatest team to ever play in the Championship and why is it Paunović Reading FC? Kaz asking, am I dreaming? Please discuss in as much depth as possible, crunching all analytics and numbers. The main thoughts I've got on that is obviously the Purple Turtle. I don't see how it cannot be that as the end of season celebration. I suppose the Jazz Bar has a bit of a shout, doesn't it, Westy?
A bit, but I think the Purple Turtle might have a bit more atmosphere about it. And plus, we can go outside there if it's still COVID times. We don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And a socially distanced bus parade would at least look more impressive if we stretch further down the street.
But that's
something to think about a bit later, I suppose. The Chris Baker asking, what's changed? It can't just be a new manager and Josh Laurent, can it? I think that's the question, isn't it, Westy? As you said earlier, the starting 11 was always pretty decent. The young players, you know, Elise Richards, we've always said that they're pretty decent players. The Championship is not a brilliant league. I'd agree with that as well. And the new manager, I think it helps when you just get off to the first couple of wins. As you said earlier, games can go either way. If you find yourself on the right side, it just means that you can, you know, build from there and see how things go.
So, as we know, it's a better start than the 106 team, so there's reason to be optimistic. But as we said earlier, whether the squad's going to be strong enough to go all through the season, stay at the top, we don't know. I think personally it's got to be to do with the manager, because the players are the same and the youngsters are getting brought in. There was a few dissenting comments, I'd say, from Bulldog and some of the others at the back end of last season, so maybe they weren't entirely happy with what was going on behind the scenes. He never alluded to what that meant, but Bowen went soon after, so you can put two and two together and come up with a number you like there. I wasn't keen on him as a manager. I thought he'd done all right, but it was an average performances from a side that I thought the first 11 were more than capable. I think we've got plenty of reasons to be happy with what's going on at the moment. Like you said, winning them early games gives you confidence, and especially for the young players coming in, they need that. We'd said about it earlier, it depends what happens after that. When you lose a couple of games, can they still carry on? But there's a plan there. You can see the plan. It's obvious to see as well. For anyone who doesn't really watch football that much, you can tell that Reading got a plan all of a sudden. You know what they're going to do when they turn up. They're going to press you high. They're going to try and nick the ball off you. They're going to turn defence into attack as soon as possible. And that is recipe for good results, I feel. And they've got the players to do it. So a few added just to make the squad a bit stronger. And I think we can look forward to a good season. Whether that means we win title, I doubt, but who knows?
You know, it's hard to say whether Yeah, we're in a title winning team or not, but that is, as we say, is going to bear itself out. And also, Wester, you've got to think that the manager himself is learning the Championship.
Yeah, but good football is good football. It doesn't matter what league you're in. I think it's more important that the players are Championship ready, and they look that way. And again, a lot of them are sort of seasoned campaigners. They've had quite a few years now in the Championship. And like I said, Richards and players that have come, and they look excellent. They look like this league could be below them in the next two or three years as they develop as footballers. So if you're looking at that, and Jao, again, Jao looked top level in his last couple of games, and we know he's got the abilities, whether he can keep the confidence and keep that running. And he's pivotal at the moment, and some of the goals he scored recently have been excellent, and sometimes he's looking unplayable. So if Puskas can follow that up with 15, 16, 17 goals, and Jao continues the way he's going, goals win games, and you can't see no other reason for Reading to start slipping away other than injuries, which we've already covered.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is with Jao as well is that when the people pull out stats of, you know, the XG, the expected goals and the amount of shots we're having and everything, and I don't pay too much attention to it myself, but people say it's quite low, we're outperforming it and stuff like that. But you look at how Jao is creating his own chances in the box by holding off players and forging those spaces and shooting on the turn and everything. And I think that's a huge plus that he's managing to do that. It means you can have quality of few chances rather than just quantity. We're not really shooting from outside the box at the moment. So you can see there is, you know, it's very deliberate. It's not an accident that these sort of goals are going in. And it's a good tactic. And Swiss Royal saying, do you believe the improvement in Aluko's performance is more based on the style of play, with a faster attacking break being played compared to Stam's slow passing and Clement and Bowen, who are more hold tight and don't concede? Are we playing more to his strengths? And I'd say yes. It's difficult to know with Aluko whether, I kind of joked on Twitter that this is his eighth coming as a Reading player, because we have seen these glimpses before. He has played well every now and again. And his strengths, Westy, I'm not entirely sure what I'd say they are, but I guess the only thing I can really put my finger on for this performance is the motivation was really there within him. And he did just, you know, he was switched on, he knew what he had to do tactically, and he got stuck in.
Oh, some of his tackles were excellent. He made one excellent tackle by the dugout there. I've never thought I'd see Luke do it in my life. It was an amazing tackle. Got stuck in, like you said, didn't shirk a tackle, as you've seen him do before, won the ball back, turned play over quickly. And I think they've been encouraged, really, and probably the last person who sent that question in is right, that players like Aluko will thrive in this team because they've got a lot of players that have been encouraged to run with the ball. Elise run with the ball. We know Ajara's got all the skill in the world. Laurent and Rinema have been told to run with the ball. You can see that because every time they get it, it's head down, get forward. It's exciting, and I think Aluko's that sort of player. He doesn't mind playing a bit of football. He's good little passer. He doesn't mind nicking a ball, and he can run with it. And I think, yeah, you could be right. It's sort of suiting the way he needs to play, because he doesn't want his back to goal, does he? He's not that sort of player. And that's the players like Jao to do. He wants it down at his feet, in front of him, and everyone in front of him, so he can play it to them. And again, if he carries on like he did on Saturday, it'd be tough to get him out of the side.
I was just thinking, actually, if Ajari is fit, and then I suppose with Swift being out, who does get dropped? Is it Elise that gets dropped? Because he didn't actually have a brilliant game on the weekend, which, you know, didn't really catch the headlines because it didn't matter. But you'd have a real decision to make there if you're Paunovic. Ryan Watkins asking, how regulated is the EFL soft embargo policy? Seems like they can just do whatever they want without reasoning or transparency. I think this is in relation to Reading missing out on Rodrigo Riquelme, the prospective loan signing we've mentioned in a few times in the week. And the only thing I would say about that is there is no real indication that it was the EFL who were responsible for him going to Bournemouth and not Reading. The Spanish media saying it was his agent, Kier Jurachbin, and the convincingness of Bournemouth, which took him there. So I won't go into the EFL soft embargo stuff for now, because we had it. I mean, we had it last season. Everyone knows that. But for now, let's just see how the transfer window, today being a big day in the foreign stuff, and then the next couple of weeks domestically, see how that pans out before we make any judgments on that. Sam Michelson, is it the crowds that have been holding Reading back all these years? And you mentioned earlier, Westy, we're playing a lot better at home now. And is it can't be because we don't have the fans in, surely?
Well, I really don't know. I'm sure there'd be some scientific study done on it at some point, but it does seem strange that even if you looked at the Premier League results last night, the ridiculousness of them, teams like Liverpool getting thrashed, Man United getting thrashed at home, has it made a difference not having a home crowd behind you or against you in some cases? I really wouldn't like to say, but I don't really think it's got anything to do with Reading's upturn in form. It's because there's no crowd there. I just generally think we're just a better side and more organised this year, and that will do it.
Yeah, well, I think, speaking generally about the lack of crowds, there's been obviously a lot of talk of people saying, oh, it definitely does this and it definitely does that. I think the New York Times journalist Rory Smith basically said that it has impacts, but those impacts differ in every scenario. And I think it comes down to focus and motivation and pressure and all of those things work in different ways on different teams in different moments, and you just have to kind of get along with the ride, I guess.
Do you know what, I will say this, Mark, as a mentality thing, going back to my time at school, which is seeming longer a time ago now than it should be, I always remember when we used to do sports day. And I used to do 800 metres quite a lot. And I always used to run slower on the bit where there was no crowd until you got to the crowd and you could hear them cheering. It used to speed you up. But, of course, it worked the other way with the home crowd. If the crowd are on your back, sometimes that can sort of slow you down and make you a bit more, not casual, but a bit more worried about what you're doing with the ball. So I think it depends how well things are going, depending on how it is mentally for you. Yeah. In the moment.
Yeah, well, just as a quick example as well, that Villa game with Liverpool. When Liverpool get back to 2-1, I think with the crowd there, they win that game. But because, you know, the atmosphere and all the way the crowd goes. But without any crowd, you just kind of think, oh, well, that's okay, I'll just get on with it sort of thing.
Yeah, I suppose it is easy for teams to collapse with no home crowd having a pop at them and not put in the effort maybe they should. But again, if... long may it continue. If we have got no crowd and we win the league, would we be happy with that? That's the question. If you didn't ever get back into that ground this year, Reading won the league, or we get back in there and they might not, which one would you pick?
You know, it's funny because Dave, who's written for the Tarless 10, came up with exactly that on Twitter earlier, and we retweeted it onto the Tarless 10 Twitter. And he genuinely said, no fans in on promotion, or you're allowed and you get mid-table. And 82% of fans at this point have said no fans and promotion, which I completely agree with. Because you'll be back in for the Premier League as well.
There is that, yeah. You just got to wait your time, that's all.
Exactly, a bit of patience doesn't hurt. Not necessarily in this scenario. But Simon Povey asking, what's Pavlovich's favourite cheese? These are important questions. I can't sleep and I'm not knowing. And Sean Burgess asking, is Pavlovich a lager man or an ale man? Westy, which one of those do you fancy taking a swing at? Cheese or the beer question?
Well, I think he's more of a... I think he looks like a red wine drinker to me. Looks like a bit of a Bond villain in many ways. So I think he's more of a wine drinker than anything. And as for Mr. Povey, I know very well. A lot of people won't know this, but Simon was the ex-coach driver of Reading FC when they got promoted, when they drew Brentford last game of the season. And he's a good friend of mine. He's been my babysitter a long time ago now. That's the sort of question I expect Simon to ask. So a bit random. I'm not sure anyone really cares what he eats or what he does, as long as we keep winning.
Yeah, no, I mean, Sean says he reckons he's a doom bar man, but yeah, I think red wine is definitely on that, or a vodka on the rocks, maybe something like that, something a bit strong.
Yeah, it's probably more vodka than anything else. He looks like a vodka drinker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's if any more questions for the mailbag on a ready, steady, cook challenge for Pavlovich, or, you know, come dine with me, anything like that, do send them in to thetarlessden@gmail.com. and the Facebook and Twitter. We will answer those as straight-faced as we can. And let's go in now to the news bites.
Stay tuned for all the latest from around the Medeski Stadium and the Championship with News Bites.
Right, let's wrap up the rest of the Reading teams then in News Bites. The women got a second win in a row on the weekend with a 1-0 victory at West Ham. Grace Maloney saving a penalty and Lauren Bruton scoring the goal. Then next in action at home to Charlton on Wednesday in the Conti Cup. That getting underway this week now. Under-23s, they drew at West Brom to continue their turnaround after two beatings to start the season. They had beat Villa the week before. They next play Leeds after the international break, and the under-18s won, beating Leicester 3-2, and they've got Chelsea after the break. So, transfers, as I say, deadline day today for international. There is an agreement between the Championship and the Premier League for an extended two-week domestic-only window, which closes on the 16th of October. So this is important for Reading, mainly because we're continually being linked with Portuguese players. Alfa Semedo, the central defensive midfielder from Benfica, is in, signed on loan last year at Nottingham Forest. Westy certainly needed a bit of backup in centre mid. I guess playing McIntyre there is nice, but it's not the sort of thing you can do 46 games a season.
No, and he's a good replacement for the two that have been playing there and done so well, Renamo and Laurent. They're going to need some backup. It's a long old season, as we know, and it's good that they've got a player in that knows the Championship. And they'll know all about him. And I think he's a similar sort of ilk to the two they've got there, sort of player that can win a ball and turn defence into attack quite quickly. So I think that's a great sign.
Yeah, there were fans hoping to see Pele back for Monaco. But honestly, it's a former Nottingham Forest loanee defensive midfielder who's played in Portugal. So I think he's probably of a similar... similar sort of type, at least. And yeah, I agree. It's numbers that you kind of... If you're going into deadline day looking for your star striker for the rest of the season, you're not going to do well. But if you just go in there looking for numbers, then you can do okay. And another one is the Porto right-back Thomas Esteves, who's going to be loaned, as according to a lot of Portuguese media, for the rest of the season. And once again, this is numbers. This is Yadon being injured with Araruna out injured. He's supposedly highly rated, Esteves. I think he's only 18, but RB Leipzig bid about €20 million for him, according to reports. And a right back, Westy, again, it just fits the bill as another player to fill out the squad.
Yeah, it does. And like I say, we're struggling at right back all of a sudden, whereas last year we had too many right backs and then all of a sudden we've got none. So yeah, something they need, and again, it's a nice young hungry player that is highly rated, and hopefully they can transform that into Championship football and get better and be of asset to us during the season.
Yeah, otherwise, I mean, that deal looks like it's going ahead, and we're sat here 2 o'clock, so it's good, you know, 10 hours or so left of the window. But otherwise, I think it's going to be pretty quiet for Reading. The Kwadwo Asamoah, the Inter Milan midfielder, has been linked, but that sounds like a bit of a long shot. There's talk of a winger as well, and I would have to say that if we get a winger, or even if we necessarily don't, but if we get a winger in, then I'll be very happy with that as the summer business so far.
Yeah, it always surprises me though, Mark, I don't know about you, that they have these deadlines and everyone seems to always wait till the last minute and then all these deals get done. You think, does it matter what date they put it forward to or backwards to? It's always going to be that date anyway. It makes you wonder why it's so dragged out sometimes.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, because for the last couple of years, it's been the start, basically the eve of the season, which I was kind of all for as a concept. So obviously with the pandemic and everything lining up with you, it makes a bit more sense. But yeah, it is a strange one how these things wait. Especially, I've always thought as a football team, you just want to get the player in and get them settled, and that's surely the smarter way of doing it.
Yeah, of course. It just seems, no matter what the deadline is, all the deals get done at the last minute. You think, why is that? I don't get it. But hey, I don't know these things. That's for people that do.
Well, I think that's the thing with the business of football, is that even the people involved in it probably don't know exactly why these things happen or how they happen. But c'est la vie, I guess. So let's round off the show. Big match preview. We got a good week off, so let's talk with a leisurely trip to Middlesbrough on the horizon.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Ars!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Saturday, October the 17th, 3 p.m. kickoff at the Riverside. A hell of a long trip for fans. Luckily, we don't have to make it this year. It's fallen on what could turn out to be the right side of the calendar for the away games and what ones Reading fans might even be able to go to. It's so far so Warnock with Middlesbrough. Four scored, four conceded. One win and one defeat from four games. No results that really jump out of USD either way. And as I say, so far, pretty much what you'd expect from a Warnock team.
Yep, they'd be difficult to beat without being spectacular, no doubt. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it's tough going anywhere in a championship, but it's more than winnable as well, based on current form. the whole month, actually, if you look at the month, it looks now, you look at the games, you think, well, I'd be disappointed if he didn't win three of those. And I think Middlesbrough's one that they're more than capable of getting a result at.
Yeah, that's the thing. It is worth saying. As we come back, we'll have the Tuesday night straight after the Middlesbrough game at home to Wickham. And then we host Rotherham and then Blackburn and Coventry away. If the month of October really doesn't... I suppose if it does turn out to trip us up, then it will be a sign that we're not that good. But if it doesn't, if we are genuinely a good promotion challenging team, we should be looking at, how many games...
A good haul of points, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Is any game... Only game you worry about is the Blackburn game, really. Blackburn away, again, they're a decent side. The others, you think, well, if you're going to be up there, these games look winnable.
And it's weird because that Wickham game, I'd said at the start of the season, that's penciled in as my catastrophic one-all draw against a team that we really should be beating or something. And very nearly Barnsley going down to nine men was the catastrophic not win. But, I must say for the Middlesbrough game, it's not... The beauty of it is that it's not a must-win. We can go there and get a tight 1-1 or 0-0 or something and come away and still be feeling pretty good about ourselves.
Yeah, of course. Again, it's any away game. You don't look at away games and think, oh, we should go and win there, we should go and win there. But we've been good away from home. And like I said earlier, I think it suits the way Reading play. They're good on the counter-attack because of the players they've got. And I just think it suits us to play away from home, as it did last year, really.
Yeah, well, let's talk predictions then. The state of play really is Dave Hambags Harris has leapt into an almighty 5-point lead with two correct results.
That's why he's a stats man. He's good at his stats, and that's why he's top.
Well, I mean, last year he said 3-1 win for every game as a bit of an experiment, and let's say it didn't work out quite so well. But I mean, both you and Hambags were a bit cheeky when I asked for the predictions for the Watford game, because both of you told me, if Zhao's out, lose. If Zhao's in, win. And as it turned out, Zhao was out and we won. So
just goes to prove what we know.
Yeah, as the pessimism goes, I wouldn't even call it pessimism, to be honest, perhaps realism, but myself and Ollie also said defeat, Sim said a draw, so no one took any points from the Watford game. We're all on 1 point, as I say, apart from Hambags on 6. So, Westy, do you want to place your cards down for Middlesbrough then?
Well, do you think we get all drawn into the same trap here where we've had a few wins and now we're going to all go to go for wins and the Reds end up getting beat and then we'll get no points again? Because that's what normally happens. So in that vein, I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Reading.
I mean, that's the trap that I'm trying to second guess. And that's, I suppose that's why I got Watford wrong, is that at some point it has to go wrong. And am I going to predict the error too early? So I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw at Middlesbrough, because... You know, these are the sort of games that against the Neil Warnock type, perhaps off the back of the internationals, perhaps some players are a bit tired from going away, some players are a bit, you know, not too sharp, shall we say, from a couple of weeks off. So I think a draw is a real option for this game.
And it's not the best of trips, is it, after international break to go to Middlesbrough? It's probably our furthest away game.
No, and I mean that area of the country as well, it's not doing too well pandemic-wise at the moment, so it's maybe be a difficult trip. We might have to do it, you know, whatever the hotel arrangement and everything, it might not be the most comfortable thing in the world. So it's something to consider for Reading fans in this game. But as we were saying, the expectations of this game, we can take a draw and I think be very happy with that. And that's not a bad thing at this stage. We're second in the league and that's only on goals scored. The teams that are actually started quite well, Bristol City, Luton and Blackburn are in the playoffs at the moment. Perhaps not the teams that we thought would be there. So it's a nice low pressure scenario for us. Maybe probably the same for Middlesbrough as well. They're 10th. So it's a free hit in a lot of ways. It's a game that Reading can go to with a bit of confidence and we'll see what happens. So, we'll be back after that game, as we'll have a week off now for the international break and for the transfers to all settle themselves down. And thank you very much for joining us this week, Westy.
Always say I love it and I love it. Thanks for having me.
That's absolutely not a problem. And we love to have all the listeners on as well. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been an exciting start to the season. Reading have gone 4-4 in the Championship, which even the most optimistic of us would have thought to be a bit far-fetched. But we are absolutely loving being along for the ride as Pownoe drives the bus. Who knows where it will lead, but for now, it's led us to second in the table. Long may it continue, and come on, you Ars.
smile.